Tomorrow, for many people, is a day of rest. Not for everybody. We recognize. How many of you have to work tomorrow? Okay, so a few of you have to work. You know, retail and essential services usually have to work on Labor Day, right? Years ago, before I came here, when I worked in mental health, we always were an essential service, and so we generally had to work almost every Labor Day. So we usually tried to celebrate and have a picnic or do something with our residents, which was kind of fun. But it is, for many people across the country, a day off. It's kind of a strange celebration if you think about it. It's a celebration without rituals, except maybe for barbecuing and shopping, right? Those are the rituals of Labor Day. Some people, sort of marks the last weekend of summer. You know, we think of it that way. For some folks, it marks the beginning of school, even though some of you already started. The founders of the holiday in the 1800s really didn't have in mind what we turned the holiday into. They had something else kind of in mind, although it does come along this idea of rest. They were looking for two things. They were looking for ways to bring union workers together and so that they could meet each other and find out what each other did. And they were also looking for a reduction in work time, which makes sense when you think about it. A lot of workers in this country in the 1800s worked very, very long hours. You know, we feel like we work some long hours sometimes, but these folks worked often 7 days a week without any kind of a break. The first Labor Day in 1882 was supposed to start with a huge parade, followed by a picnic, and that was to bring everybody together. The problem was that there was no government agency, and there were no businesses in the country that recognized the holiday. And so in New York, they declared a huge one-day strike. And they had this big parade and then afterwards this giant picnic. Well, why did they really do that? Why did they do that? They did that because in the 1830s, manufacturing workers worked as many as 70 hours a week. 70 hours in a factory. 60 years later, by the 1890s, it had changed some. It had dropped by about 10 hours a week, but they were still working about 60 hours a week, which was an awful lot. Through things like Labor Day, which drew attention to the workers, it was one of the ways that they were able to make some changes. And so eventually you saw the coming of an 8-hour workday, and they focused on workers getting more days off. That reduced the work week all the way down to 6 days. So most people in the 1890s worked 6 days a week. It worked. We have the trickle-down effect over the years of what they were doing, what they were trying to represent. And this wasn't just a union holiday. Almost none of the manufacturing workers in those eras, in that era, were members of a union. But it was just about making changes that were positive. Today, the average manufacturing worker works about 40 hours a week and works only 5 days. And that's representative of some of the change. You might be surprised to know that Labor Day has been around for a while, since 1894. Grover Cleveland signed that into law. Finding the right balance between rest and work has always been a huge human problem, hasn't it? You ever feel, I shouldn't say should you ever feel, but you often feel like you're not rested? Is that the case? You know, there are lots of times where we feel tired and weary, heavy laden. Well, this morning I want to look at what the Scripture says about work and rest and come to some conclusions about that. Our goal today is not so much to spur you on to some action as it is to help you to see how much God loves you and has provided certain things for you, and also that when we work, looking at our work as a calling can turn that into a major blessing. And so we want to look at those two things today. We're sharing a kind of a theology of work, which is not something we often do. And so we want to do that today, given it's Labor Day weekend and all. Would you pray with me as we get started? God of heaven and earth, we acknowledge your rule over all of life, including the work that you've given us. And we open our hearts, and as we open your word today, we ask that you would show us how you look after us and how you call us. Reveal yourself today in your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that we need to acknowledge is that work was a part of God's creation. Genesis 1:1 tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By the time you get into Genesis 2, Genesis 2:2 says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Now, I think some of us have the impression that work is a four-letter word. It's a bad word. Work is a terrible thing. But the Bible starts off with God himself working. Creation was work. And after God had finished in Genesis 2, it says that he rested from his work. He stopped working. Well, then in Genesis 2, we have God creating Adam. And what's one of the first things he does? He gives Adam work to do, certain work. It says in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So this is way before the fall ever occurred. Adam was given special work to do. In fact, part of that work was naming all of the creatures that God had created, and it says, so the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. And so while God did create Eve because it wasn't good for man to be alone, for companionship, there's also a very true part of this that God created Eve to be a helpmeet, to be a helper, to be a co-worker of sorts, and to share the load of the work that Adam had been given by God. Together, they were the stewards of God's creation. Work was a part of God's creation, and we were always intended to be workers in some way or another. Work was a part of our existence. I think when we think of the Garden of Eden, we think of you know, a paradise where we just lay around and do nothing. That couldn't be farther from the case. The truth is, Adam was working. Now, we also think of work as employment. And in the beginning, nobody was employed except in the sense that we all worked for God, or Adam and Eve worked for God. Now, we all know the story of the fall, right? Work was God's creation. It was good. But the fall came, and because of the fall, work became much more intensive. Work became more difficult because of the curse. We use the expression labor-intensive sometimes. We use that expression when something takes a lot of work in order to accomplish it, right? In order to make it happen. Maybe it's heavy work. Well, all work after the fall became labor-intensive. The serpent tempted Eve, and she gave in to the temptation and ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then she gave that fruit to Adam, and he ate it too. And this is one thing, only one thing, that they had to obey. And yet, they didn't. They disobeyed God. And there were consequences. In Genesis 3, God pronounces a curse on them. To Adam, he says, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. So work got a lot harder because of the curse. The curse not only fell on Adam, but it also fell on the ground. It says that God cursed the ground, making it more difficult for humans to do their work and to get what they need in order to exist. It says more thorns and weeds will grow up, and you will work by the sweat of your brow. Delivering babies got harder after the fall. Your ladies know that. An increase in pain was a part of that curse, and I'm guessing that it was supposed to be easier as part of God's plan in the beginning. Though I can't imagine anything easy about it. It's certainly not easy now, is it? Childbirth is difficult. It's hard work. That's one of the reasons we call it labor, that process of delivery, right? Have you ever asked yourself, why does work have to be so hard? You ever ask that?
Why does it have to be so hard?
We have all kinds of expressions and thoughts and ideas that surround that idea. We call what? Wednesday. What do we call Wednesday? Anybody? Hump day. Why do we call it hump day? It's like getting over this difficult part and into the, you know, it just feels like it's dragging on. We want to get past that. We say TGIF. Why do we say that? It's the last day before the weekend. Thank God it's Friday. We're thankful that we got there. We made it through all of this hard work. We made it through the week. I hear people say, I'm working for the weekend. In other words, everything I do is just so I can get there on the weekend and I can have my fun and do my thing. The great oasis at the end of life is retirement. So many people hold that out as a hope for life. Now, there's nothing wrong with retirement. Retirement is cool. But hoping in a goal beyond that is something I hope you are doing. Something beyond just retirement. I hope that's not your entire goal. I've known a few people who worked their entire life to get to that goal, to get the rest, and they got the eternal rest because they died within. One fella in a congregation that we pastored in Toronto, he died within 2 or 3 days of retiring. He lost hope. He just lost purpose in some way. And it's like everything just shut down. Well, I hope you have a goal beyond just retirement. Work was a part of creation, and it was very good, but curse made it harder. Thankfully, God put things in place to ease the burden. He built cycles of rest into our creation. Work needs rest. 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest, even during the plowing season and the harvest. You must rest. God himself was an example of this. When he did creation, he rested himself on the seventh day, and he built the Sabbath into our work weeks, into our concept of life even, so that we would rest. You know, in Jesus' day, some people were trying to make the Sabbath harder. The Pharisees and the scribes and some of the other notables were trying to make things, you know, this is so strict, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, there's this case where Jesus and his disciples are walking through this wheat field and the heads of grain are just opening up. They're that beautiful brown color and they're taking them and they're rubbing them between their hands and taking the kernels and eating them kind of like our modern granola in a sense. And they were rebuked for that. And they called Jesus out and they said, you know, stop your disciples from that. Why are they doing this? This is a Sabbath. You can't work on the Sabbath. And Jesus says to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath wasn't created to make your life more difficult. The Sabbath was created to make your life easier so that you would have a time for rest and refreshment and for worship and for family and all those other things that go with Sabbath. You know, when you don't take a Sabbath in your life, you become more vulnerable to a lot of things. We're not our best when we're not rested. I can tell you that for sure. We don't do our best work. Our productivity falls off. I remember reading a study a few years ago that talked about how, you know, if you're one of those people who just eats your lunch at your desk and just continues to work through while you're eating, it showed that your productivity in the first hour after you finish eating falls off by about 20%. By the second and third hour, it falls off somewhere between 30 and 40%. When you take a break, there's still a fall off, but it stays at the 10 to 15% range afterwards because your body needs rest. You need a break. And the same thing happens in your work week. You need to have time to rest and refresh, and to worship God. God didn't create the Sabbath so you'd have one more rule to obey. He created the Sabbath because he knew that we needed that time to be restored. Well, worship times and gathering times together. They keep the Sabbath holy. What does it mean? The word holy means set apart. You know, when it says keep the Sabbath holy, it's really talking about setting that apart, a special time. Time spent together, time spent with God, time spent to breathe a bit. Spend some time with your family. Get ready for the coming week. And focus on God. Remember that God is the biggest part of our life. And He goes with us. I know that some of you think the third commandment, especially around the Sabbath, is let there be football. Well, hey, if that gives you rest, go for it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. Not only is Sabbath a time of rest, but Jesus Himself is also our rest. Matthew 28. That song was about Matthew 28, about this verse in Matthew 28, or these collection of verses. Jesus talking to a crowd of people, of those who had gone out to hear John the Baptist. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees had placed a very heavy burden or yoke on the necks of the people by making so many rules and regulations for following God and even following the Sabbath that made it difficult to follow God. If you can imagine that. Rules on the rules on the rules on the rules. They called it the fence around the Word of God. Well, Jesus came along and said, you know what? It doesn't have to be that hard. He said, it isn't supposed to be that difficult. The very thing that was supposed to refresh them and make them feel like life is special was draining them and taking things away. But Jesus said to them, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You ever felt bone weary? Soul tired? You know, you've been through a lot of difficult things, or you've come through a time of loss, or you're in a period of illness, or you've just worked a lot and you're bone tired. You get to the end of that. I remember many years ago, I won't say how many years, when I was in the Army Reserves, we were in boot camp, and there was a huge forest fire in just north of us in a forest region where we were staying. And we were in a desert training zone, and they gathered us up, and there we went all sandy and dusty out to fight this forest fire because there weren't enough people. And so we all got dragged in, and we spent, I forget, 36 hours, I think, something like that, straight, without sleep, and just, you know, hauling water tanks on our back and carrying shovels and, you know, working on the sides of these hills only to have the fire sweep back through a couple hours later. It was just terrifically hard work, some of the hardest work I've ever done in my life. And I remember at the very end of that, you know, finally getting to the tent and laying down and just bone tired. There was nothing left, just completely and totally exhausted. And I think sometimes life can do that to us. We live in a corrupted and fallen world. And this world isn't always a positive place. Now, I love this world. It's an amazing world. God created this awesome place. But sometimes, because of the corruption of sin and how it's changed our world from how it was meant to be, we end up in those terribly weary situations, those bone-tired situations. No, there's nothing left. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Spiritual rest for sure. Take my yoke upon you. Not the yoke of the Sadducees or the Pharisees or the rule makers or the religion people. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle in heart and I'm humble. Humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. for that soul deep weariness. For my yoke is easy. If you know, and you probably have seen these before, but this is a pair of oxen with a yoke between them. That's this bar that ties them together so that they walk together. And in pulling a plow, they shared the burden. One ox pulling alone might get very tired and become exhausted, but two oxen working together could do more because the burden was lighter. And that's the picture that Jesus is painting here. What happens when we're yoked together with God in our work? Do you take your faith to work? Do you take your faith to work if you're working? And I'm not just talking about formal work like going to the workplace. I mean any of the work that you do. And I'm not just talking about words. You know, we always think in terms of sharing our words of faith with our coworkers, and it's wonderful when we get the opportunity to do that. You know? But whether you're working or retired or volunteering or working around your own house or going to school, I'm talking about walking with Jesus in all of those situations in such a way that we lean on Him for strength. We rely on Him for courage. We go to Him for wisdom. When we work yoked with Jesus, we begin to overcome curse. Jesus died on a cross to set you free from bondage. And when we're yoked with Jesus, work can be transformed from drudge to a blessing. In fact, your work can transform into something we sometimes call calling. We think only sometimes, I think, of pastors and missionaries, global workers, of being the ones who are called. But in truth, the Scripture doesn't speak of separation like that. We're all called by God to wherever God has called you. Work was created by God as a good thing. And He didn't take the essential goodness out of it when Adam and Eve fell. That goodness remained. It just got harder. It got harder to experience the goodness of work because it became more difficult. And work is made even more difficult when we don't avail ourselves of the two things that God has given us to help us. Whoops. I lost it. Didn't show up on the slide. Sorry about that. But the two things that God has provided is His Sabbath and His Son. That's what God's given us for our work. His Sabbath for rest and His Son, whom we can be yoked with. Even in the Old Testament, people learned that if they followed God in all they did, blessing came. There's this wonderful section of, I won't put all the words up because it's a little bit long, but Deuteronomy 28 and verses 1 through 6, it says, "If you faithfully obey the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments that I commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the other nations of the earth." He's talking to His people now. "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Now listen to how that comes out. It says, "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." See, life with following God, when we're yoked with God, when we're working with God, walking alongside with God, that overcoming of curse begins to take place in our life. God provided for that, even long before we get to the cross. Ultimately, that will be achieved fully. But blessing follows obedience to God. And it also comes from walking closely with God and making sure that our work is about God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, a verse that you're very familiar with. "So whenever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Be yoked with God. do everything for His glory. We call that word calling again. And you're all called, every single one of us. And when we recognize that, the calling in our work, and when we walk with God, work becomes something new and can be something even quite wonderful. It can transform you, and it can change from labor intensive to labor intense. You ever have an intense experience with God in your work? You know, you're doing something, you're with a coworker, you're in the process of something, and then there's in your work, while you work, there's this sense of God being right with you, His presence. Or something happens at work and you look down and you go, man, that had to be God, because that wasn't me. That didn't happen because of something I did. God was very involved in what we were doing. Labor intense, because of the intense presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. My yoke is light. I'm urging you this morning to be yoked with Jesus, to have a balance between the rest and the work part. You know, find a balance in your life. And be yoked with Jesus in all things, not just on Sunday mornings when we come to worship, but to walk with Him when you're working, when you're out there. How can you do that? Well, let me share with you a couple of things that I think can be helpful to doing that. First of all, surrender your work to God. And I'm talking about actually doing it. Coming to God and saying, Lord God, right now I surrender my work to You. Whether that's volunteering or whatever your work is, whether it's in the home, doesn't matter. I surrender my work to You. Give it to Him. Start there. Give God your work. Say, Jesus, I surrender it. Give Jesus control over your work, just like you give Him control over everything else in your life. See, I think that work is one of those areas we withhold from God sometimes. Give it all. Give it all. Ask God to bless your work. Now, this isn't necessarily a selfish thing. You know, I think, oh, Lord, bless me. You know, we can get into that very selfish mode. But think about it. If God is blessing the work of your hands, think of the people around you. We talked in that direction this morning in our Sunday school class about, you know, when we're blessed, when we're present in God, when we're present in Christ, people around us are blessed. And people around us are touched. And people begin to see something they've maybe never seen before. That's what happened to me. That's how I got saved. I was around people who were living for Jesus. And I said, I don't know what that is, but I got to have it. Got to get it into my life. That it turned out to be Jesus. Jesus will bless others through you and your work. And ultimately, you'll be blessed in doing it. Here's a third thing. Do your work for the Lord. If you're working for the boss, you're going to get tired. You know, we get in that mood. It's all about the boss. It's all about that person. I've worked for some hard bosses at times. And you're going to be tired and unhappy all the time if you're only working for the boss. Your joy will depend on the boss's happiness, right? That's a great way to get burned out, by the way. If you're working for yourself, your joy depends on your mood. But if you're doing it for God and for His glory, as if you're working directly for Jesus, you'll find that you're working for the joy of it. And that's a whole different space. That's a whole different attitude. The last thing I want to point out is that you can find rest from work in God. God has provided rest in the Sabbath and Him directly. Find your rest in Him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for work. Many times I have found satisfaction in it, and we ask that You help us to surrender our work to You. Help us to yoke with You in our work so that we can bring You glory. Give us strength to continue in it, especially when it's hard. And help us to do it all to Your glory as if we're working for You directly, which we are. Lord, sometimes we grow really weary. And you've said to us, come all who are weary and heavy laden. And Lord, some of us are weary of life even right now as we stand and sit here. We come to you with our burdens and we ask you to lift them, to carry them, because we can't carry them anymore by ourselves. Forgive our sins. Take over our lives. Help us to yoke with you in our work. And let it all be to your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.